Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Power of Forgiveness. Every human being is born with a body, soul, and a dead spirit, which is made alive at the moment of salvation. The physical body is a replica of the soul body. The soul brain contains your personality, and this is why you continue to live on even when your physical body dies. It is here that God has programmed your intelligence, memory capacity, talents and skills, emotions, and the capacity to call out to God for salvation. In contrast, the born-again spirit is the only part of the soul brain that has the ability to communicate with God. An unsaved person is spiritually dead, and the soul's sinful nature rules in absentia, but he still has the capacity to do all sorts of things in the physical world. In contrast, a Christian has the same ability, but he should use his born-again spirit to rule his life. This message is entitled, Body, Soul, and Spirit. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I got a nice message today that I'm going to be sharing with you. And I believe that this is going to be some life-changing things in your life. Today we have children here in the ministry, in the chapel, and there are probably some children might be watching us. And if you can learn from mistakes adults have made, you will have a very nice life. Now, I can talk to every adult here, including myself, and I've had a lot of heartaches, a lot of problems over the years. We all had them. And the reason for that was we were not that smart. And now we are smarter. We have learned. And now we like to tell younger people, this is what happened to us. This is what you can do. You can avoid the pain that I had. You don't have to have it. But the problem is, every generation, they simply says, well, you don't know anything. You're too old. You know, we know better. And then 40, 50 years from now, you would simply say this, I sure wished I would have listened. I would have saved myself from a lot of pain. And you talk to young people then, and they say, oh, you're too old. You don't know nothing. We know everything. And that is how we have done as a human race for the last 6,000 years. You would think that in 6,000 years, the human race would have learned. But you know what? It doesn't work that way. I'm going to be talking to you today about body, soul, and spirit. First, I'm going to give you some information, and then we're going to look into the scriptures. So here's what I'd like to do. We're going to pray. Would you stand with me in the chapel as we pray right now? My Heavenly Father, I'm going to thank and praise you right now for helping me to present this message today, Father God, in such a way that it will bring life to the listeners and the viewers, and that, Father God, they'll be able to change their lifestyle and to be victorious. And this I ask right now, in Jesus' name. And Father God, help me to read the scriptures slow. Help me to pronounce the words right. And help me, Father God, to be presenting it so that the Holy Spirit can use me in this message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about the power of adrenaline. Adrenaline is a chemical that we have in our body. It's a hormone that the body makes. And it's nice to have that when you have a need. So let me just read this to you here, because if I read it, we will have the perfect. The adrenal glands, which sit atop of each kidney, can keep us healthy or make us sick. The glands produce a hormone called adrenaline, which acts like a booster in the body. These glands do not produce a lot of adrenaline under normal conditions. These two glands also produce DHEA. And so they have, they produce other hormones too, but particularly these here, adrenaline and DHEA, these are vital for our bodies. Let me try to illustrate this for you so you understand. I have a car that I'm driving, 2004 Volvo, and it's an older car, but to me it's a new car. It's nice. It runs. Now, if I develop a problem, and I have developed problems with the car over the years, I do not take it to the feed store. I do not take it to the grocery store. I take it to a Volvo repair shop. Now, there are other people that can work at Volvos, but this is what I learned. If I take the Volvo to a Volvo repair shop, that's all they do, works on that car, that means that these guys know the cars. Also, for each car, there is a manual. And so I'm trusting, when I bring my car in, that the repairman, the technician, have read the manual or have access to the manual. So when I bring the car in, he will look at the manual, he will check with the computer, and he will say, well, we got to do this and do that. And every time I've done it, and I had this car since 2006, it always run nice afterwards. I took it one time to a little countryside repair shop for a little job. And the guy came out and says, well, you know, we never worked on the Volvo before, you know, but I'm sure we can figure it out. He looked like he was going to use a sledgehammer or something like that. So I says, well, I kind of got cold feet. I said, you know, I appreciate you, but I think, you know, I'm going to go some other place. I didn't want that guy to work on the car because he knew nothing about it, had no manual. He was just going to try to figure it out. And that's a problem that we have with our physical body. We try to figure it out. Your body is a fine tuned piece of machinery that was created by Jesus Christ when he made Adam, prototype, and then he simply put him under, he took anesthesia, took a rib out, and he cloned him, and we now got the woman. So that's how we started. Let me talk about the DHEA. Because I learned about this, I'm taking a product, it's a special product I'm taking, I've been doing that since about 30 years. DHEA is produced and it drives all the hormone systems in the body, all the glands. When you are 21 years old, you have 100% production. You hit 30, and now you're about 95%. You hit 40, and now you're down to maybe 80%. And every year, that goes down and down and down, which means that the body does not produce new cells. They do not exchange them the same fast way. And so you still get wrinkles, but the inside ages fast. And eventually, when a person dies, but they say naturally, they die because the DHEA has ceased to exist. When the glands stop DHEA, that is when the body dies. Now, alcohol, nicotine, and a number of things will do destruction to your body. Now, you can write to me. I'm not going to advertise here on the webcast. But if you want to find out what we are using, then, you know, we'd be glad to tell you that to you. Let me go back to the outline now. However, when a person is stressed by work, car accident, or threatened by someone, the adrenal glands will immediately begin to secrete, rapidly increasing the heart rate, with dramatically increasing the speed by which the adrenaline is spread throughout the body. Now, liken this to a turbo in an engine, or an afterburner in a jet fighter. You turn on the afterburner and you go boom. I mean, you got a big kick in the rear end on that. You got a turbo, it kicks in. So now the body is in a fight or flight mode when the muscles are primed for action and the nervous system is on high alert. Adrenaline is liquid energy. It is designed to give muscles extra strength to deal with a perceived threat. So now you're pumped up. You got extra energy. So I'm sure that you've been, most of you drive cars. And so you have near accident or something happened. And everything stops. You didn't have the accident. And now something strange happened to you. You begin to shake. And you say, why am I shaking? Well, there's a computer system in the back of your, in your brainstem that something says, we got too much energy in the body. The danger is over. And you got to burn it up. So, signals go to every muscle, start shaking, start burning. So you burn up the energy. Otherwise, it would do destruction to your body. Now, I got an example here, point number two. We got a husband and a wife, and I know that most husband and wife, they never fight. I mean, you know, they don't know what a fight is. But there are some couples that do fight. And so let's say now, I'm not talking about, you know, they're physically beating each other, but there's a verbal fight, you know, you're screaming and hollering. And the children are still eyes big, you know, looking at mom and dad, and what a fight. Ugh. So when you do that, you have a lot of adrenaline pumped into your system. You are ready, and you are. So now the man storms out, slams the door, get in the car, start it. And just take it out of the car. Now, the wife sits in a chair and she cries and she does nothing. Now, that adrenaline got to go someplace. It will hit the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, and it will do damage to them. Here's what I tell housewives. Or women in general, if you have a fight or let something happen, the best you can do is to take out your vacuum cleaner and start vacuuming with all the fury you have until you're simply, oh, so tired, burn it up. Never let adrenaline sit in your body. Burn it up. Walk. Run, do something. In both cases now, the adrenaline rushes into the different organs of their bodies, including the glands, and suddenly their bodies are no longer in harmony. And if this continues on a regular basis, it would eventually lead to sickness in the body. Let me talk about two types of dogs. I'm going to be talking about a Saint Bernard dog, big, laid-back dog. He's having a good time. He doesn't move very fast. Compared with a Doberman. Now, a Doberman, and my brothers had a number of them. My parents had a Doberman. It doesn't take a whole lot to get them excited. You know, doorbell ringing, boom, 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 the door, you know. And so, adrenaline is always pumped up in a Doberman. And they don't live that long. 9 years, they are old. The Saint Bernard lives much longer than that, because adrenaline ages you. So now if we are smart, we say, well, I want to have adrenaline. If there's something breaking into my house, I want to get pumped up and punch his lights out. But I don't want to be pumped up all the time. I want to be like a turtle. Turtle lives for 100 years. And the reason for that is they never get excited. Overwork leading to fatigue, fear, hate, hurry, tension, etc. would cause arthritis, mental disease, vascular diseases, and gastrointestinal diseases. So, in churches, most pastors are not educated. They don't know about the physical body. They pray for people. Some churches don't even pray for people. But you know what? We take care of our cars. Why do I want to take care of my car? I tell you why. Good reason. The nearest grocery store, we have a little bit convenience store, but it got nothing. But the nearest grocery store is about 7 miles, actually about 10 miles from where I live. Now, if I get hungry, I don't want to walk for 10 miles to the store, do my shopping, get my bags, and then walk for 10 miles home. I want to ride. So because of that, I'm simply saying this now. Cars need maintenance. They need to change oil. You need to do that. Aero the tires and so on. You got to maintain them. So I am smart learning this. If I want to be able to drive to the grocery store, I got to maintain my car. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. My legs will tell me that. Now, you got a vehicle that you are in. And you need your vehicle to work, to do things like this. And we neglect the vehicle. You take good care of your dishwasher, or your washing machine, your dryer, your refrigerator. You take care of all mechanical things around you. But most people treat their bodies like junk. And that's why, when you be about 40 years old, 45 years old, 50 years old, you know, your body begins to wear out. Here's a doctor, medicine here, pill there, you know, and so on. And you think that's normal. No. If you do maintenance beginning when you are 20, you will not have the problems when you hit 50, 60, and 70, and 80, and 90. Let me talk about the soul brain right now. The physical brain is a living computer consisting of protein, water, and minerals. God has done a fantastic job. It has no emotions, and it's in the same class as a desktop computer, just fulfilling the wishes of the operator. Now, when God created the human body, he wanted to make it nice and easy to use. Can you imagine when you wake up in the morning, you got to say, okay, I got to make sure that my intestines are working. I got to ensure that my liver is going. I got to hit my kidneys right now to get them to squeeze just right. Be a lot of work. See, God simply says, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to put it on automatic. I have a little computer in the back of your brainstem, and I have pre-programmed that computer. And you don't have to worry about it. Just put in the food that I said in the Bible you should have. Don't stress out. Have faith in God. Flow with the Holy Spirit. And everything is fine. That's how God built us. Many of the bodily functions, like breathing, heart rate, blood pressure, blood sugar, digestion, elimination of organs like kidneys and liver, are automatically controlled. Praise God for that. Listen closely now. When the soul is happy and content, the harmony of the soul is transferred to the physical body and his brain. All bodily functions run smoothly, and the physical body is healthy. Inside this body that you see now on your screen is me. I'm inside. You can't see my soul. My soul has a head, eyes, ears, mouth, and I got a soul body. I got legs, feet, hands, and so on inside of me. And everything that I am is not in the physical brain, but in the soul brain. This is where I am. Now, if my soul brain gets disturbed, it's going to affect my body. Picture this. You get upset, angry. You have to go someplace. You get in your car. An angry person does not drive a car nice. You're upset. You speed up. Brake. Flip. You mistreat that car because you're upset. That's exactly what the soul brain will do to the physical body. When the soul is unhappy, angry, hateful, disgusted, envious, etc., it creates negative emotions in the soul brain. The soul brain creates negative emotions which are transferred to the physical brain, which in turn converts them to electric currents that race through the nervous system. So what happened now, if I could just try to explain this to you. A telephone or smartphone we have now, I don't know the voltage, but it's less than 1 volt. Now, if you take a smartphone and you run 110 volts through that, you're going to simply fry the circuits. So what happened is, when the soul brain is unhappy, it creates emotions, negative emotions, negative energy. It hits the physical brain. Here, it is transferred into electricity. Either too much or too little. That electricity goes out through the body, hits the different glands, and suddenly they are out of sync. They get too much or too little, and now they are not producing right, and your body is not in balance. We talked about this last week when we read from Proverbs. Problem is this, and I'm really upset about this. You that are in the chapel, and you that are watching and viewing, you take very good care of your cars, trucks, dishwashers, all the appliances in the house. You make sure your carpets are nice. And the reason for that is money. You know it costs money if you don't take care of things. So you are driven by money to take care of your things. But you neglect your body. As a result, you age too fast, you get sick, you don't live good, and you leave this earth premature. The automatic functionality of the body is fine-tuned, causing the calibration to become skewed. And like I said before, the physical brain will send too much or not enough electricity to the nervous system, which in turn will negatively affect all organs in the body. All of you have been seeing a power outage. When you have a power outage, you really want to turn off your television and your appliances. You want to turn them off because when the power comes back, it's going to be a power surge. And it can destroy and fry a number of things of your appliances. So you know that. Again, money, money. So you make sure that you turn everything off. When it comes to your body, who cares? And then you cry and says, oh, God, heal me. And God said, I have already healed you. I got a perfect system for you. Why do you have such a lousy maintenance system? Well, Lord, you know, Now, it's a wonderful fact that if you're eating and the phone rings with bad news, you can lose your appetite afterwards. The stomach gets tense and does not process the food you have eaten. I'm sure everyone here have experienced that. You're sitting and eating, you get a phone call, somebody comes to the door, bad news. Ooh! It doesn't matter what you have on the table, it doesn't taste good. Your stomach is in knots. And you simply says, I don't want to eat. If unhappiness continues year after year, it will damage the body, and suddenly the person is diagnosed with cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, glaucoma, arthritis. The cure for sickness begins in the soul. All negative emotions can be traced to the root of unforgiveness. You and I are going to encounter people all the time. Some people are going to rub us wrong, do us a bad number, and we have an option to forgive, release, and stay healthy, or to harbor bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and our bodies will begin to die slowly but surely. I want to talk now about the soul and the spirit. I'm doing segments here in future sermons. We're going to talk more about this and fine-tune this. Now, every human being is born with a physical body and a soul and a dead spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to turn to that, have you read this? And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had a conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, when a child is born, you have a body, a soul, and a dead spirit. Most people do not get saved, and they walk around with a dead spirit. At the moment of salvation, the dead spirit is made alive and able to communicate with God. Let's read from verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That of yourself is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus the good works, which God has before ordained, that we should walk in them. When we do counseling prior to deliverance, I have people sitting in front of me at the tables. And I simply say, I want you to do something right now. I said, I want you to connect to the internet right now. He says, I can't. I said, why can't you connect to the internet? Because I don't have a computer. I cannot do it without a computer. Really? I thought you could connect to the internet by raising your hand. No, can't do that. You got to have a computer. My illustration is this. If you want to talk to God, you've got to have a spirit that is born again. Now, A soul can cry out to God for salvation, but a soul brain cannot have a communication with God. It takes the Spirit. You can be an unsaved person. You can do all kind of different works on earth and do things. But you are spiritually dead and cannot hear from God. The physical body and its brain will eventually die. A body that is in the grave will decay. And in due course, the elemental body will turn to dust. Genesis 3:19. And Jesus said this, "In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return unto the ground. For out of it was you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return." Now, I can guarantee you this. This body that you see here, including my brain, is either going to be cremated or go in the grave, and it's going to cease to exist. I'm going to walk out of this body with my soul brain, my spirit, and I'm going to be taken to heaven where I will be able to communicate and worship God, and all my memories, all my skills, everything I am is located in my soul brain. I'm going to read to you now. The soul and spirit are attached to each other. The soul of a man has the same characteristics as a physical body. This body is a replica of my soul body. When a person dies, they will go to heaven or hell, and their soul body will be just as solid as their physical body was on earth. Let's turn to Revelation 6:9. "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, unto the fellow servant also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." So they could talk, they had memories, they were discussing things. And then we look in the next chapter, which is chapter 7, and we read from verse number 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." These are souls now. "And he cried with a low voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sits upon a throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces and worshiped God." Now, here we have souls in heaven. They are singing, holding palms in their hands, worshiping God, very much alive. The soul body is solid in the spirit world. Let's go downstairs now and turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I got a kick out of President Trump this week or last week when he was making a reference to the dead congressman, and the wife had simply said, "Well, he's looking down." And then President Trump says, "Well, maybe he's looking up." And everybody really upset. But the truth is this: if you're not saved, you're looking up, you're not looking down. Luke chapter 16, verse number 20. "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at a gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from a rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes." He's dead. But his soul What the hell? He lifts up his eyes, being in torments. And he sees Abram far off and a Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He got a tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Notice now, this guy did not have a ghost body. He had a solid body. And it was hot. It's hot in hell. He was burning. And he asked for a little bit of water to cool his tongue. There's no water in hell, by the way. No thermostat there either. But Abraham said, notice now that this guy, the rich man, he could think, he could talk, he had memories. He was in full condition, so to say. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented as flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that David would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can I pass to us, that they would come from thence. Then he said, I pray you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Notice now, this man in hell was concerned about his brothers that were still alive. He could think. He had emotions. He loved his brothers to the degree he didn't want them to end up in hell. There's a lot of praying in hell. But you know what? It's too late to pray. I know one person that prays harder than anyone else. Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith in hell is praying day and night. God, don't have anyone else join the Mormon church. And you know why he does that? Because with every new convert, the pain is going to increase on him. You find Muhammad in there praying, oh God, don't let anyone else become a Muslim. Because he knows that for every soul converted to the Muslim faith, Islamic faith, he's going to pay for that. For I have five brethren, that you may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have most of them and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not most of the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And how many people in the world today are born again? Very few. But what I want you to see here is this, that the soul is solid. You got a brain, you got eyes, ears, mouth, tongue, feet, hands. It's a solid body. And in heaven, they are rejoicing. In hell, they are crying and praying. Back to the outline now. The soul brain is connected to the born-again spirit and consists of two components. Let me read you point number one. The soul brain contains the personality of the human being. When God designs a person, he determines intelligence, memory, capacity, talents and skills, emotions, and the capacity to call out to God for salvation. Turn to Exodus chapter 31. My nephew, Charles Terrell, which is also a pastor here, is very skilled in building computers. And Pastor Alexei, that also works here, the two of them have built all the computers, just about all the computers we have here. And there have been times when Charles comes to me and says, you know, I'll need a new computer for this or that. And I said, okay, what are you going to use it for? And he tell me. And then he goes on a shopping list. And he picks out the chip, the motherboard. He picks out all things according to the need that he has. That computer is specially designed by Charles. And then he ordered the parts. And then he and Alexi, mostly Alexi, put it together. And when a computer is put together, it functions beautiful because it has all the characteristics and the gifts and the capacity that it needs to do the job. We got computers here that record the message, record a stream. We have computers that send it up over the internet. We got video computers. We got all kind of computers. And each one has been designed very carefully to have a certain quality and capacity. When God created your soul, and you've got to listen closely because I might be over your head a little bit. Before the creation of anything, God sat down, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he designed every human soul. He designed them in his, what I call, supercomputer. And as he designed them, he simply said, this person's going to live in that century, this century, in that nation, have these parents, and he knew what he wanted to be. So he created you, pre-programmed with skills and talents that comes with the computer, your soul brain. It's there. Then, when it comes time for you to be born on earth, your soul was then created according to the blueprint made before the foundation of the world. And here you showed up as a little baby, and everybody said, I wonder what this baby is going to be like when they become adults. And we says, well, we don't know. We find out when they begin to mature. Let's begin now from Exodus chapter 31 and the first five verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bethuel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. Notice now, God knew this guy's name. He said, I called this guy, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. This guy now, Bezalel, was born, grew up, and suddenly he realized, I got some skills. I can do this, I can do that. I'm sure his mom and dad said, what did you learn that, son? I didn't learn it. It is coming. It's built in. Every one of us have skills, different characteristics built into our soul brain. And God simply said, this is who you are, and I've done this because this is what you're going to do on earth. Then we read on. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Harisamach, of the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded you. There are certain people that are called gifted children. They finish college when they are about 12 or 13 years old. There are certain people that are gifted in mathematics. Some people are skilled in physics. Some people are artists. Some people are musicians. Some people simply know how to work with people. Everyone have skills. They reside in the soul brain. Most people waste their talents. I never forget when I came to Salt Lake City in 1963, lived with my uncle, who was a Mormon. I was not walking with the Lord. My wife was not saved. And they took us to the temple ground, and they showed us people working there. And my uncle said, "You see that guy over there? He's from Germany. He was as skilled. He could play the violin. Very skilled. But we're using him here as a janitor." And he laughed. Wasted time. Wasted years. Wasted talents. Turn me to Exodus 36:1. "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, every wise other man whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise other man in his heart, soul. The Lord had put wisdom even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." These people were simply called out to do specific things. They had skills. Now, I can paint a wall. I can have a roller. I can have a brush. I can very nicely paint walls, and they look nice. But don't ask me to paint an oil painting. I mean, it will be scratch. I don't have that gift. But I have seen people with a gift, and they just flow. And you see flowers, faces of people. And you say, "Wow, look at that." Well, they are using the computer system that God put in their soul. It's not them. You see God working. It's a skill that God has made. I think that we all heard the biggest, fattest lie the last 2 days. You all heard about Boeing, the company that makes airplanes and stuff. They had made a spaceship, unmanned spaceship, that could fly up by itself, dock with the station up there in the space. And space station, and then fly back again. The problem was they had a beautiful lift off, and then something happened, and the thing went into the orbit. We're not supposed to get in orbit. And you heard a PR, or the people, you know, the spin doctor said, you know, "Well, we forgot to set the clock." Mm-hmm. And so that's what is off. They were able to bring it back and land it. Do you buy that? Would you realize that they have a pre-launch situation? They go through every detail. Lots of people sit at monitors and computers, and they forgot to set the clock. It's about a dumb when you come to work and you say, "Boss, I'm sorry, I forgot to set my clock. I'm late." So we can make all kind of things that goes on programs. But this is what I want you to see here, that God has put something great in you. And then I want to go to chapter 38, read just a couple of more verses here. 38 and 22 and 23. "And Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And willing was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, and a cunning workman, an embroiderer, in blue and in purple, in scarlet and fine linen." These men had not gone to college. They had not gone to a trade school. They simply had it in their fingertips. Every one of us have gifts. And we should major in our gifts. Now, we can do things, we can train to do things in all areas, but we're not going to be good. We can be acceptable. But when you flow in your gift, you will excel to the maximum. In the old days, and they still do it in churches, they said, hey, we need someone here to teach that Sunday school class. Hey, you, can you take that class? But they don't ask the person, do you have the gift of teaching? No, we just say, oh, stick him in the hole, he can do it. You want to put people where their gifting is. Now, I want you to wrap yourself around this. If you go and take a look at history, and you start with Adam and Eve, Noah, and all the way up, you will find this. For every God was elevated, the technology was high. Once Christianity came into the world, you will find that the development of civilization were at the height of Christianity. You see that they moved. Christianity moved to Germany. We had Martin Luther, the Reformation. And Germany, they got the printing press, they got a number of other things. And then suddenly, the light moved to England. Because England had a move of God. They sent out a lot of missionaries in the 1800s. And you'll find that England, they were the ones that started with the trains, the steam engine, and so on. And then the light moved to the United States. And in the United States today, we are the powerhouse of development, of technology, and other things. Because this is where Christianity is at its height, so to say. Now, the Democrats try to bring it down, destroy it. But our technology, our civilization, goes hand in hand with Christianity. It affects the justice system. It affects the welfare system. It affects education and everything else. Well, let's go to page number 3 of the outline. The spirit is the only part of the soul brain that has the capacity to communicate with God. The spirit is sinless, since it has been made alive by the Holy Spirit. You sin with your soul, not with your spirit. The spirit can be likened to a parallel brain, which has a greater capacity than the soul brain, possessing more intelligence, skills, and talents than the soul brain. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You have a lot of talents in the soul brain. But I tell you what, the spirit brain, the spirit is a turbo. Once you are born again and you walk in the spirit, you get much more intelligent, much smarter, much more understanding. It is enhanced. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to pick it up in verse number 9. But as is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. An unborn person does not really know. An unsaved person doesn't really know who he is. He is retarded, spiritually retarded. When you get born again, it is a spirit that searches you, and it is but a spirit that we should walk. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You compare things spiritually with spiritual things. You don't get into the flesh realm. But the natural man, the unsaved man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. College professors, people that are in education, don't believe in God. They are angry, upset, fighting Christianity, putting it down, destroying the faith of people they have in their classrooms. Why? Because their father is a devil. They are spiritually dead and have no discernment. But look now in verse number 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judged of man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want you to catch this next thing. Now that's important. At your home, you got a computer, desk computer. You might have a tablet or whatever you have. And your computer has certain programs in it and so on. But it's limited. Now, the moment you hook it up to the internet, you have access to thousands of computers, a lot of information. And suddenly with your tiny little computer, you can search the World Wide Web and you can find all kind of different information that you did not know existed. And you have access to that and you can learn from that and use that information. As a Christian, with your spirit, you have access to the throne room. You have access to the mind of Christ. You have a super duper computer that is a billion times better, if not billion, zillion times better than the internet. And you can, in your prayer time, access the mind of Christ. And you can download information that you cannot find in the world. And suddenly he says, that's how it works. When you need to do something, you can ask the Lord, tell me, do I do this project or do I do that project? You can use them as a GPS. I've done that many times, all the times actually. I ask God, I'm going to go someplace. Which is the best way? Where's the traffic? And I've been spared many accidents. With your mind, your spirit mind, you have access to the mind of Christ. You have access to all the wisdom there is. And you can know that you know that you know what God wants for you. Let me take it to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to pick it up here in verse 16 through 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, as your Spirit and the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh now is the soul. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, if you're born again, you're not under the law of death. And then you have the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like are the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is what I want you to take home with you now. We have an opportunity to live two ways. I can live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. When people attack me, I can either get down in the sandbox with them and fight in the flesh. Or I can say I'm going to take the high road. I'm not going to get involved. I don't care what you say. I forgive you. I walk on. I don't have to mess with you. You can walk in the Spirit. So, I want you to take this home with you right now. What I told you today is this. Your body is a fine piece of machinery. It's computerized. It works fine. As long as your soul brain does not get excited in a negative way. If you can take your spirit and control your soul brain, you will soar. It's a battle because the soul brain doesn't give up easy. The memories. But what you need to do is just recognize I have a piece of machinery. I need to take care of that. I need to do maintenance. And I want to move with my spirit. I want to access the mind of Christ. And I want to fly above the flesh. It's a decision you make. Now, I have walked with Christ since 1966, a number of years. A lot of things happened, a lot of fights, church splits, betrayal, people do this and that. But I made a decision. I walked away. I forgave. I released. I moved on. I just stayed with Christ. I'm still trucking. But many of the people that were around me, their bodies are dead, and they're either in heaven or hell. Make your choice to be an overcomer or to be a victim. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be an overcomer. And through the Holy Spirit, I can be an overcomer. You make a decision, and then the Holy Spirit will take it from there. It was an old commercial years ago. Greyhound simply had this in advertisement. Leave the driving to us. Leave the driving to the Holy Spirit and flow in Him. And you will have a fantastic life. Now you listen to me and you say, I'm not saved. How do I get in? Very simple. Recognize that you're a sinner. Confess to God that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, paid for your sins at the cross. And simply say, I believe that. Forgive me, Lord. Jesus, come in my life. Save me. And He will. When we finish here, the screen will change. Three crosses will pop up. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles. And he will take you through the plan of salvation. Just a few moments, a few minutes. And he will pray with you. And you can know that you're saved today. If you do that, call us, write us, let us know. Because I'd like to pray with you and bless you. Now, those of you that are Christians. Some of you have known this. You're practicing this. Others are halfway in. Some are not doing anything. Go through the outlines again. Go through the scriptures. And then realize this. You have some beautiful talents that are unique to you. Walk in these talents. Let God develop them. And you will be a blessing to yourself and to the world. And also this. walk in the Spirit, and you will have access to the mind of Christ and to know the riches of His glory. May God bless you as you begin to soar like an eagle. Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today, Lord. And so much depth and so much things to take in and to put into practice, Lord. But there is abundant life, and it comes by understanding the Word of God, walking in the Spirit, and having the mind of Christ. It's a great blessing to be able to be a partaker in that. So we thank you, Father, for the Word. We thank you for each one of our blessings. We thank you for those that tuned in across the world, and those that will be tuning in later, that they will be able to draw from the well, Lord. And we know that Satan has a plan to squash truth and knowledge and understanding, but he can never take what's been hidden in the heart of a man, and that he will try to rob it, but if we're diligent to keep the thief away, he will lose that battle. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, The Power of Forgiveness, and was entitled, Body, Soul, and Spirit. Every human being is born with a body, soul, and a dead spirit, which is made alive at the moment of salvation. The physical body is a replica of the soul body. The soul brain contains your personality, and this is why you continue to live on when your physical body dies. It is here that God has programmed your intelligence, memory capacity, talents and skills, emotions, and the capacity to call out to God for salvation. In contrast, the born-again spirit is the only part of the soul brain that has the ability to communicate with God. The spirit is sinless since it has been made alive by the Holy Spirit and can be likened to a parallel brain with a greater capacity than the soul brain. An unsaved person is spiritually dead, and the soul's sinful nature rules in absentia. But he still has the capacity to do all sorts of things in the physical world. In contrast, a Christian has the same ability, but he should use his born-again spirit to rule his life. When the soul experiences negative emotions, they are transferred to the physical brain and converted to electrical currents that race throughout the nervous system. Now you know why the cure for most sickness begins in the soul. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1735. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.